Paul, in his letter, and I should say, first of all, that Romans is maybe one of the most important books in all of Scripture. We get a lot of our understanding of Christian theology, and especially as Lutherans, our Lutheran theology, from the book of Romans. It's a very important book. It's the longest letter Paul wrote, and even in his introduction, his opening statements, he's laying out theology right away, and he's talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. And this good news is the foundation for everything that Paul does in writing the letter and in his life in general. He talks about how he's chosen by God and appointed by God to preach and to bring and to proclaim this good news. And he tells the people what this good news is. It's all about Jesus. It's something God spoke of from the very beginning throughout the Old Testament scriptures. God has spoken of this good news that's going to come through Jesus Christ, this man who comes from the line of David, this man who is proved to be the Son of God by his resurrection. And here we come to the crux, the foundation, the bedrock of what Paul understands the good news to be. It is, purely and simply stated, the resurrected Jesus Christ. This is why we get this passage here in the season of Easter, because it is about the risen Jesus. Paul says it's through the risen Jesus that he has received God's grace and that he has received God's calling. He then tells the Romans and he tells you that it is through the risen Jesus that you are chosen to belong to Jesus. It is through the risen Jesus that you know you are loved by God. It is through the risen Jesus that you are called to be God's own people. It is all through faith in this landmark and thing that is unique to Christianity, that is, that we have a risen Savior, a Savior who has defeated the grave. That is the bedrock, the foundation of our faith. But it is also a huge stumbling block. Paul will write this later in other letters that this faith in Christ, a risen Christ, is a stumbling block to some. To others, it's just pure foolishness. It is a hindrance to faith for some people. For a lot of the world, if Christianity, if our faith could be boiled down to simply following a good person, to trying to emulate this Jesus who we read about in the Gospels, trying to be like him in caring for the poor, caring for the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing those who need clothes, and just loving and caring for those who are marginalized by the rest of society. If Christianity could be boiled down and could be found to be only that, the world would have no problem with Jesus Christ. Muslims, Islam, talks about Jesus as being a good prophet. It's there in their holy writings. They refer to Jesus as a good prophet, a great prophet even, not the great prophet, but a special person, because they can look at his deeds and say, yeah, we should follow that. Gandhi talked about Jesus, how he loved Jesus. He just didn't like Christians, because they didn't look like Jesus. He appreciated the works of Christ. But when you throw the resurrection in there, when you throw in the things that prove Jesus to be the Son of God, when you throw in the cross and the sacrifice for our sin, then Jesus is a stumbling block. Then Jesus looks like foolishness. Because we would love it if faith was really only emulating Christ, trying to be a little bit more like Jesus. If faith came down to that, the world would be down for Christianity. But that, to Paul, is not the good news. That is not the power of God for salvation. That is not what makes us righteous, not what makes us acceptable to God. And thank goodness it isn't. Because I'm not good at emulating Jesus. And let's be frank, I've seen you guys in public. I know you're not good at emulating Jesus either. We're just not good at it. We cannot be like Jesus. And if faith was dependent, if salvation was dependent on how good we were and in copying who Jesus was, we have nothing to hang our hat on. The resurrection might be a stumbling block, might be a line in the sand that many people can't cross. It might be foolishness. It might be a reason to scorn and to mock this faith that we have. But I desperately, desperately need it. I need it. I need it for my own salvation. I need it for hope when I am preaching over a funeral. I need it. The resurrection is our good news. And so Paul will give this beautiful couple of verses in verses 16 and 17, which you could boil down to being a summary of all of Romans. And he'll say, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile. It is the power of God. It, the resurrection, the crucifixion, all the events of the passion are the good news for you and I. That is the power of God for your salvation. That is what we hang our head on. And this should be the most freeing thing that we have ever heard. That it's what God has done for us in simple faith, simple even childlike faith in that. That is God's power for your salvation. Not how I copy Jesus, not how I emulate him, but what God has done for me in Christ. It's the most freeing news in the world. God, who is faithful, has given you this gift through faith, even the most simple faith, even a faith that occasionally doubts. This is God's good news to you. And so this morning, we come now before the altar. We eat and we drink the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, for nourishment as we go day to day in this faith, to be reassured by what God has done for us. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, there are times when we doubt, when we struggle, when we question. Strengthen us in our faith. Reassure us of the hope that we have through your cross and through your resurrection. Help us to be freed by this news. and then send us forth as you sent forth Paul to bring this gospel to all those who still are bound, bound to their sin and bound to their own good works. We pray that you would nourish us today as well, giving us strength for the days to come. We pray this in your name. Amen.